Hi, welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we're joined by Julia Schroeder from Hotelestat, one of our expert partners. In this discussion, we look at the importance of connecting the data dots between rates, reputation, reviews, demand, all to gain commercial insights, to drive more bookings, to increase revenue, and to enhance profitability. We touch on the wealth of data that sits in a hotel operation, the correlations and cause-effect relationships that can impact dramatically on a hotel's performance, positively or negatively, and how machine learning and AI can help hoteliers manage what feels at times like an insurmountable challenge. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, Julia, how are you? Good to see you again. Thank you for joining us. Are you well?
Yes, I'm well. Thank you so much, Trevor. Thank you for having me again.
Hey, no problem at all. And we've got a really interesting conversation today where we are probably trying to connect a few dots here. When there's a lot of talk written about data, you know, within the context of revenue management, and then AI and machine learning, and there's kind of all these phrases that whiz around. So we thought, well, actually, who could we have a conversation with where this is very much kind of a part of what they do? And that naturally we thought of you guys. So let's jump straight into this. So when we're talking about data, okay, that's, you know, machine learning, AI, we'll come on to that in a moment. But when we first start with what is the oxygen or the blood, whichever analogy you want to use, data is what it's all about now. Yeah. So from a hotel perspective, let's start by just early on identifying, when we're talking about data, what actual data can we leverage? And then we'll talk a little bit about, okay, so now we know what that data is, what value could it mean to us? So what data can we actually leverage, I'm guessing, either within the hotel or external?
And that's a good point. It's always about internal and external data, right? So you have obviously internal data coming from your main system, which is usually a PMS or a CRM for some companies. But usually it's about internal data. So the pickup, the revenue that you did, the ADR and the RevPAR, obviously all these KPIs, but then also what about the nationalities? What about the segments and the channels and all this? This is coming usually from the PMS. Mm-hmm. So you should dock this into, or should consider this obviously into your RMS. Yep. On the other side, you have then external data, which is then everything coming from the market, from your competitors. How are they performing in terms of what prices are they selling on the OTAs, potentially also on their websites? How, what is going on in the city? Are there any events? And how far are you from the events and stuff? So an event could be fairs, conventions, concerts, sports events, whatever it is, right? So depending on the location, depending on where you are, it could be anything. And it could be smaller, but very particular, and you are very close to the location, or it could be a big one that has an impact on the entire city. So this is obviously also something that should be considered when checking the data for this. Also, I mean, could be anything then again, reputation, weather, your own website and how this is performing and so on and so forth. So there is a lot of things that should be considered into the data when you look at your RMS or your potential strategies for revenue.
No, makes a lot of sense. And I think you can understand when you look at all of the, not only the vast array of sources of information, but then the level of information within those different sources. Exactly. And we're going to talk a little bit about, look at some of the correlation and cause effect relationships between these data. So we'll come on to that a little bit later in this conversation. But just as a headline summary, summary is the wrong word because that's normally at the end of something. Sort of a headline teeing things up. When we look at the value of this data, why, you know, as a hotelier, why is it so important now? Why does it have so much more value? Maybe it always had that same value. Maybe technology has helped us realize it. But what do you see as the core value of it?
We're in a fast-paced environment. There's so much new things coming up, so much new technology. And I think when you want to it sounds a bit bad, but if you want to survive in this fast environment, you have to kind of adapt to this and see, okay, what is out there? How can I kind of tweak a little bit here and a little bit there, so that kind of like my, as you always explain, my entire organs are still running. Yeah. So this is, as you said, this is the oxygen of a hotel, all this data, and it kind of and lives and embodies the whole I need to do certain things to be competitive, to survive there. And I mean, the value is also on the other hand, when a machine does all the hard lifting for you, the value is also your the time that you can save in order to do different things, because a machine is much faster, much better in actually collecting the data and then analyzing the data and correlating.
And that last point I'm going to pick up on in a moment about the analyzing and correlating, because there's an important factor around data that sometimes I think isn't missed, but yeah, often comes to mind later down the line when you realize you haven't done something. Yeah. I think what's interesting is when you talk about that being able to adapt and move, you know, it's so much fast paced. I mean, in a way, the way that technology has evolved in the world and created opportunities for hoteliers to reach more guests and help to encourage them to book.
Yeah.
On the flip side, has almost created more avenues and more information that we could tap into. And right, hence why the need to almost not look at it as a one-way street, rather than, oh, I've got all these sources that can help bring people to me. It's also, well, I've got all this information I could be doing things about, yeah, to be more efficient and more effective with what I do. But that does bring us back then to this. There's a lot of quantity.
Yes.
But we've also got to ensure that the data we're dealing with is of a quality data. As a company that deals with this stuff all the time, what can you tell us about that balance between sort of, or the value of quality over quantity, maybe? Or
right. No, yeah, for sure. I mean, as my boss Philip always says, that I have to use a bad word, but I hope it's okay. And so once you put in shit, you get also shit out. So shit in, shit out. And this is usually coming to the internal data, so the PMS data or CRM data that you connect to, because usually this is data that humans put in. Mm-hmm. So there's either missing data or wrong data in it. So some people just don't know the difference between source codes and channels and segmentations and all this stuff. And they just put in anything, which then for them in that moment doesn't make a difference. But for anybody who analyzes that data or who works with that data, it's kind of crucial that this is all correct. So we need people out there at the reservations teams, at the front office teams, that are really good with putting in the right data, putting in all this thing. So this is definitely something that is super crucial when it comes to internal data. But obviously, the external data is a bit more easier, because usually it comes from different systems and different sources that are already kind of based on computers or systems that give us the data. So that is usually much easier. And there again, you look into high quality. For example, if we take our rate shopping data, for mm-hmm. us, it's very crucial when we shop the data that we don't buy anything from I don't know, other companies that do rate shopping. So our rate shopper is our very own rate shopper, because then we can ensure that the data is first of all, very quickly.
Kind of there. Clean data.
Clean data, exactly. Yeah. And we are responsible for it, right? So whenever something is wrong, we can kind of pull our own ear and say, hey, that was, we need to work on this, that this is working better. Yeah. And also, I think with if it's our company or other companies that work with machine learning and AI, it's also that you definitely need a data science team on ground or maybe externally, it depends on how you work, which really continuously kind of works on the data and validation of the data and how you can use that and realize or kind of finding the duplicates and typos and all this stuff, that the data is really clean and really there. So the quality is also high. So, and this is obviously yet again with the help of AI, because AI can recognize that within a second that there is something off and can help the data science team in cleaning up all this messy data.
and it's a good point, and we'll get into a bit more on the machine learning and AI side in a few moments. Before we get into that sort of the more tech, what people would look at as technical, but also can be quite incredible when you look at what it is capable of achieving. Let's just maybe kind of look real world for a moment and put ourselves back in the shoes of a hotelier. They're listening to this or they're watching this and they're thinking, yep, okay, so fine, I've got a load of data. I get it. PMS, right, fine, all these. I'm sure there's not a single one out there that's going, so what?
Yeah.
But no. Can you maybe just drawing out from some of the examples that you mentioned earlier, some of the external sources, and then with the internal sources, actually highlight maybe some examples of those data correlations, cause-effect relationships?
Yeah, I mean, with all that, as you said, or as you mentioned, there is a lot of data out there, and we try to kind of make sense of it, because just because you have that data, it doesn't mean that you actually are able as a human being do this whole correlation. You can do it for for a couple of silos of data, but you cannot combine that vast set of data within split seconds. So I would say, to make it very easy to understand, so for example, if we take the example of weather data, so for some properties, weather could be super influential, and for other properties, it doesn't matter at all. So sure. If we take, for example, a ski resort during high season, winter time, January, February, March, the weather can play a tough role. If we look at this year, for example, the beginning of this year, there was no snow. January in Bavaria and Austria and stuff and other countries, there were no snow. So the ski season couldn't start, or they had to have like the snow cannons out there in order to have people come and ski. So and obviously me as a skier, I was always kind of checking, okay, where is the snow coming? When can I book? You know, stuff like this. And other people do the same thing, right? They look at the weather data and see, hey, okay, this weekend it's going to be super, super nice powder snow in, I don't know, Switzerland. So I'm going to book on Thursday my hotel for Switzerland and go for a ski trip for the weekend. So this can obviously be kind of short notice pickup within your hotel if you are a hotel.
if you're watching the data and you're thinking, right, it's going to get better for skiing, people are going to start booking, I want to make sure my rates are reflective of potential demand.
correct. And so the weather data is kind of like this cause effect relationship that hey, if the snow is coming, I need to increase my rates. The same thing for example, for events that are happening in your town, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on where you're based with your hotel in the city, how far you're away from the location of the event, and mm-hmm. How many hotels are within this range of in between you and the event location, how high are their prices? And then also taking another set of data, what is the quality of the hotel, right? Looking at the reputation, because usually when you book a hotel, you look at, okay, how far is it away? And maybe also how is the rating of this hotel? Yeah, mm-hmm. is it really a 9.0 on booking.com, or is it a 4 point whatever? So this makes also sense. So we are correlating all this data together and kind of checking, okay, what does make sense and where should your price go? So yeah. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, and I think what's good is, you know, weather is an obvious one, reputation, but these are factors that if you're not thinking of them as influencing your pricing, then you're basically, and events again, you know, you're basically missing a trick. We all know whenever there is a major sporting event going on, everybody moans about airline ticket prices, hotel ticket prices. Yeah. And again, you know, if you're a major branded property, then fine, you've probably got a bit of support, bit of technology behind you. But if you're a smaller property, independent property, you know, these are the kind of factors that can make the difference, and an extra €5 or €10 you know, added on is not a perceivable difference necessarily to the consumer, but can make a big difference if, you know, if you've got a 50 room hotel and you're suddenly able to put an extra €10 on your price and nobody really has a problem. Well, there's €500 without having to do anything different. You don't have to do there's no cost incurred to just up it just because I could see some data was informing me that maybe I should be altering what I'm doing.
Correct. That is exactly what it is. And I mean, being a human, as I mentioned before, there is only so much you can actually see and correlate with each other. And yet again, there are machines that actually can do it within split seconds and being out there and helping you just push the button and you know, make the right decision for a higher or even like to stay at the same rate level. I'm always very cautious about lowering the rates because that is really the last resort. But usually it's kind of like this game, right? Shall I stay with my rate or shall I increase? Yeah. Because I mean,
it's a valid point. And I think this is where the world that we've moved in, where we were doing revenue management on Excel spreadsheets, then we were getting into, you know, revenue management systems. Now there's automated pricing, there's sophisticated systems to more lean systems. But all the conversations now is around machine learning and AI and how that plays a part. So that's what I want to kind of dip into first, is maybe separating out the two. And let's look at machine learning first of all, and where does machine learning play the part in making sense of all this data?
I mean, machine learning is really about kind of collecting a data and realizing kind of like the patterns within the data. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned before, if we go back to that snow and resort ski resort example, so the machine learning part will recognize a pattern that whenever there is snow during a certain period of time, there is a pickup, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's the pattern that always appears. It's kind of like the same as a, or more or less like in like the algorithms, but now just machine based. And then there is the AI that actually does something with this information. So it mm-hmm. has this information, okay, whenever it snows, I have a pickup. So what do I do now? and looks at different sets of data, yet again looks back, okay, so there's snow, there is a pickup, also all the competitors, for example, also increasing the rates. This is again something that machine learning will tell you, and then it correlates this whole thing together and says, hey, this is the time where I need to increase my price. So this is where the AI comes in and takes all these data kind of snippets coming from machine learning and actually learns from it and then improves kind of like your everyday rates with all this information. All these factors are great and well, but for example, if you're in a market where reputation doesn't play a role or the weather doesn't play a role, it's up to the AI to actually make the decision, okay, I will just leave out this data set because I don't need it, because nothing happens when this pattern comes. So I will just leave it out and look at other data points that are more important or where I can see that things are happening. So it's the AI that then makes this decision. And it's also the AI that has to look back and see, okay, this was not the case back then, maybe it's the case again, and kind of re-evaluate these data sets that were left out for a certain period of time. And now potentially it could be yet again the time where this data set is important. So it's really that. And as I mentioned before, no human can actually do that all the time, like going back and forth and checking, okay, is this now relevant again or not? Is it irrelevant to take something else out? So
that's where the intelligence bit of the AI, it's kind of it's almost. And I guess to your point as well about the human, it's not just the capacity to handle data. It's we have to sleep. We're not always at work. We sometimes are given a lunch break. Yeah. Sometimes we have to be occasionally a vacation. We may even have to attend a meeting. So we can't be there watching this all the time. And that's where, you know, if we take a core piece of revenue management, which is the pricing, it's about something that is continually seeing this data that is changing, looking at what that has meant in the past, and then the AI looking at it and thinking, well, that's not relevant at the moment because that's never had any impact, but we'll keep an eye on it because if something changes, we'll pull it back in. And then the AI, and we'll talk about how you guys are using it. But I mean, in a simple system, it's just turning around and saying, okay, this is a recommendation, you should change your price, and maybe suggesting a price. Yeah.
Yep. There are different ways how we do it within Hotelista, but this is basically the base out of it that we can provide you with a recommendation on price, on a restriction, whatever it is, and give you a good kind of outcome or serve it on a silver platter, as I always say, that you can just do different things. Like me as a revenue manager, I can then focus on you know, achieving different forecasts and telling sales what to do and where to go instead of, like, you know, being there as a fireman and just put out the fires that whenever there is one. I can just focus on different stuff, different strategies, instead of, you know, this. And this is the main thing. I think that is a brilliant thing to have in terms of you know, the next generation of revenue managers and commercial managers and so on.
Well, I always think of it a bit like, and maybe I've heard this from somebody else a while ago, so I will not take credit for this at all. I never do on it, but it's a bit like revenue management historically was almost like driving backwards, looking in the rearview mirror. You know, you're kind of just always putting a report together of because even if we're looking forward to what our pickup is in a future month, it still happened. That booking happened in the past.
Yeah.
So everything that revenue management was about is looking backwards at what has happened.
Yeah.
Whereas the solutions now and what you're talking about and the Hotelistat solution that we'll touch on in a moment, but all this additional data is now starting to, you know, if we, to use your example or three, because it makes sense, if we can see that the weather patterns are changing, that's happening in the future.
Exactly.
That's going to influence future bookings. So now we're looking out the front of the car and we're driving forward. So the question I always look at is you know, if you're asking someone to handle revenue management for you, are you getting them to drive your car through your rear view mirror, or are you letting them look forward to where you're actually trying to get to? Because if they just sit in there filling out reports of what's been booked, they're just driving through this tiny little mirror and trying to work out what to do next.
Exactly. And I mean, this is how we worked in the past. And this is how Philip, our founder, decided to actually develop Hotelistat, because he was actually doing that, right? Filling out reports. And I have this example. I was at an event talking about AI a couple of days ago as well with a colleague of mine. And we were talking about exactly this. I would prepare whenever I would have a revenue meeting, which was once a month. I would sit there for 2 days actually having my reports. Like, people would send me different kinds of reports, and I would sit there and just, you know, copy information from one side to the other, and then sit there and actually analyze the data that I'm seeing and making sense of it. And then preparing this meeting, as I said, for 2 days, and the meeting would only take place for an hour a day. So two days of work for a 1 hour meeting, you know, that is kind of like, it doesn't make sense nowadays to have this data there, having a person that is more expensive than a computer system sitting there for 2 days straight and analyzing data. That doesn't make sense.
I know what I would rather have as a hotelier. Would I rather have I'm sitting in an hour's meeting, would I rather have someone who spent 2 days and then comes to me and tells me what the data is telling me and what they think? Or someone who's spent 2 days looking at what the data's been telling them and been analyzed and come to me with strategies of what we could look and the pros and cons of each and the risk and reward, and we sit down and actually work out a plan going forward rather than what do we do? I mean, I'd much rather, and I guess for the person doing the role, sitting there and coming up with strategies and working out what we could do is far more interesting than copy and pasting data.
Yes. Yes, for sure. That's the thing. And that's why we always say, especially in terms of, maybe AI will take over my job. No, it will not. You will be taken over by somebody who is using AI and doing the job instead of, you know, pushing and pulling and copying data left to right. It doesn't make sense anymore. And it should be really about strategizing and being out there and seeing things already far in advance, not looking at the rear mirror, as you said, right? But you know, being there half a year, 9 months, maybe 12 months prior to certain events, to be able to actually, you know, set up the strategy right, and being out there and having already, you know, 6 months into the year, having hit the budget and the forecast and everything and being happy about it. But that's what it is, you know. We were always, I remember, especially when it came to forecasting, I mean, you would sit in the month and wait until the last day and saying, we made the budget, we made the forecast, yay, which is insane. It is insane to me nowadays.
Just sitting there with your fingers crossed at 5 o'clock on the last day.
Exactly. Like, please, let a booking come in. And that doesn't make sense. We should kind of, you know, have this strategy already beforehand when we see, okay, there is no pickup. We should do something about it.
And also the ability, because it's doing it every minute, every hour, whatever time frame, you know, you can continually see. You're not waiting. You know, I mean, I know you can see if you got bookings, you know, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, just to have something that seems dynamic that's moving that enables you a bit like sailing a boat. You know, we don't kind of go out there and then wait. You know, we're continually tacking as the wind changes direction, and it's that continual adjustment to keep us on that steady path that we're trying to navigate, rather than will we reach our destination? Will the wind blow in the right way? Have we got the sail set? You know, before it was always okay, a bit of crossing our fingers and hoping.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
So how do you guys at Hotelistat use data, machine learning, AI to benefit your hotel customers?
Yes. So obviously I'm not going to lob everything out that we do, because obviously that is kind of our secret ingredient. But if I talked, or I teased already a little bit about it, I mean, it's all about the internal and external data. So we kind of gather over 1,000 data kind of sets within Hotelistat. And I mentioned already the PMS data, the OTA data, how many rooms are still kind of selling within the market, what is the meta search data, and so on and so forth. All these comes together, and then we feed it into our kind of with all the machine learning algorithms. We feed it then into ARIS. ARIS is our AI, ARIS, so Automated Revenue Intelligence System.
Okay. And
that is kind of where all the magic happens. You know, it's really about what can I use? What does make sense within this whole sets of data? What are the patterns? What are the correlations? Everything coming together, it then kind of checks what are the most important data sets. And then yet again, what the beauty is of Hotelistat, because I work with systems in the past where you get a pricing recommendation and you sit there and you'd be like, what? How is this price coming together? I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me. I want to kind of increase or decrease, whatever it is. And with Hotelistat, it's quite nice, because we kind of show you, or not kind of, but we show you basically, we open up this black box and show you, okay, we actually, or ARIS calculated the price, the recommendation, the restriction, whatever it is, because of these data sets, and they were kind of prioritized in this way, because it then, as I mentioned, it correlates the data. It shows you, okay, I changed the price by €5 because all your competitors increased the price. Then also there is an event taking place, and you're quite close to the location, but on the other hand, your reputation is not there where it should be. So I decreased the price yet again by, I don't know, 50 cents or whatever it is. So it will show you a little bit of this secret sauce.
So you actually give some context behind.
Yeah.
Because that's been one of the, that's interesting, because that's often been stated as, well, it's like black magic or something, isn't it? There's this black box and these algorithms, and how do I know whether the decision is right? So you actually, your ARIS, ARIS, will provide some context as to some of the headline points as to why it might have changed. Right, yes, okay, that's interesting.
So it would really give you the transparency that you need as a revenue manager, or even as a beginner. It also makes sense for smaller hotels who never did revenue management before, because then they can actually see, okay, what kind of data is important for my hotel that I potentially have to look out for in the future, or whatever it is, right? So you learn, you get the transparency, and then for us, it is about the trust that you gain into the system. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned, it was a black box before, and I never knew why a certain price was set. So I had to call the account manager or whatever to actually explain to them, hey, listen, my gut feeling tells me a different thing. And it was a gut feeling, right? It was not on, I mean, of course I had data.
We had experience and stuff.
Experience, exactly. But this is a different kind of, this is a new level, right? This is something that I can really look into and see and gain. And funny thing is, a lot of revenue managers, whenever we tell them about this kind of feature that we have within Hotelstat, and they always say, hey, listen, can I then actually, you know, get certain data sets out of the AI so it's not there anymore? For example, weather, because weather is not important. And I had to learn, and also Philip had to learn, that this is not how it works, because the AI actually will tell you what is important, and when it's the weather is not important, it will take it out. So
it would already have anticipated that it's not important. It won't, right? So it wouldn't have included it in it. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
And I guess we're used to ticking what data sets do we want brought in.
Exactly.
And that's almost the difference. And again, if anyone's watching this and says, no, you don't have a clue, then please let me know and I'll get you onto one of these conversations. But to me, that feels like the difference between kind of the algorithm piece, where you would choose and then you would put the data in and you would just choose not to put X equals whatever, Y equals whatever.
Exactly.
How it's evolved is now this, through the machine learning and seeing what the patterns are, and then the AI overlooking that with the context is saying, right, actually, your property, whatever happens with that weather data, it comes in, but it has no bearing at all on anything that we're ever doing or any of the decisions that we're making. So it's there.
It is there.
Because who knows? Something may happen. We could get a flood or something like that. I mean, ironically, we're seeing that. I mean, that's a challenge for any technology, that you get these events, an earthquake, a hurricane, a flood or something, and suddenly everyone just has to adjust to that.
Right.
But generally, as a rule, if it works out that it's not important, the data sits there.
Yeah.
It sees nothing is changing, so it doesn't build that into its recommendation. I quite like the bit, and there's often this backwards and forwards debate. It feels a bit like a tennis match, you know, what side of the court is the ball in at the moment, as to whether it's technology or human and technology. And I think everyone seems to pretty much settled on that it's probably juice, you know, it's even. you kind of need both. And I think that what's interesting is that even putting the context in, it's kind of, in a way, it's saying, well, you don't need to just blindly trust the technology. It's because everyone, we're by nature inquisitive, so we always want to know how someone's come up with that conclusion. So by putting some context around it, it actually reinforces the value of the human element.
It does.
And their experience, either as the GM or maybe someone wearing multiple hats that does the revenue management pricing as part of their job, or an experienced revenue manager.
Yeah.
You will still have a viewpoint on a recommendation, and understanding where that's coming from, the context, would seem to enhance the value of the human element.
I totally agree. And to kind of close the circle here as well, is that the way we, for example, build also the system, is that it's really always up to you if you want to kind of have it on autopilot and pushing the prices all the time, or you want to still be the one that looks at the data and maybe corrects it here and there with their own gut feeling, and then pushes a button and confirms the rate. Or if you want to put in your very own strategy, so your very own kind of gut feeling, and you don't want to work with the AI whatsoever in terms of pricing, it's also totally fine. We give you basically the tool that can do anything for you, and you decide how you want to use that tool.
Very good. Very good. Good way of wrapping it up. And I know we're going to do another video that'll come out a little bit after this one, where we're actually going to have a bit of a deeper dive into the Hotelstat solution. So hopefully this has not only been interesting for those who are watching and listening, just in a general conversation to put machine learning, AI, revenue management into context, but also hopefully it's maybe some people who've seen this have thought, okay, I can kind of see where this could be a value to me. And then when we do a slightly deeper dive, it will maybe answer a few more questions. But for now, Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. Really interesting to understand how all these dots connect. And it was great to have you join us again. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Trevor. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Take care. Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Julia for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.